Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Energy. Today we have one of my favorite guests who keeps coming back on. She must actually like me occasionally, which is nice to hear. Her film Emperor's been available on YouTube for like 10 or 15 years. Who knows? She'll tell us. Julianne Block, welcome to the show.
Super happy to be here, and of course I like you.
So, let's discuss. This is your first film ever, right?
My first feature film ever.
Yes.
So, my first feature film, yeah.
So, how did you get hired? I mean, somebody's looking at your resume going, well, you've never done one of these before.
I wasn't hired, so there's a little bit of a longer story. So, I was a movie set, obviously, prior to this, in Germany, and then for several reasons, I went to Asia, and I went to Asia because everyone who wants to do films is going to North America, so I decided I go the other way. So I ended up in Hong Kong, and then I ended up in Malaysia after that. That was in 2005, Hong Kong, 2006, it was Malaysia. And then funny enough, no one came and offered me a job in the film industry, obviously. And I said, okay, I'm tired of waiting, so I will just do my own thing. And in Malaysia, English is one of the official languages, so there are a lot of people who speak English as their first language, which makes it easy. And then I was just kind of looking for people who might be interested to do a movie with me, and more or less like recruited an entire crew and cast and shot a short film. That's a 15-minute short film called Unsecured Loan, and that was going well enough that I decided, okay, let's do a feature. We just jumped right in. So that was 2000. I think we shot 2008 or 2007. I can't really remember. It was out in 2008, so we must have shot it in 2007.
So is this the story of Unsecured Loan, the story of an independent filmmaker, Unsecured Loan?
No, Unsecured Loan, the first short film I did, is actually very loosely based on a short story my brother wrote, and it's set in a loan shark environment, and Asia is prone for loan sharking, so there's a lot of stories about loan sharking, actually. So in this whole Asian gangster thing, I found it very fascinating, so that was, his short story is not set in Asia. That was more like a Eastern European feel, but I took it, and it's kind of like if you're in a dilemma, so you have to choose between like one disaster and another disaster. So that's more or less the premise of the story.
You decide to make your first feature. We have a crew. You got a story. Do you know what you're doing yet?
Put it this way. I thought it's not very expensive to do this because everyone was doing this to learn for their showreel, for whatever reason, just for fun. We didn't shoot in sequence, so we just shot. If you really start out shooting, so you just shoot on the weekends when you get like a day here and there together. So I think all in all, it was 30 shooting days. We learned really a lot. Some people were more professional, others less. I definitely learned a tremendous amount. And I did a lot of things you shouldn't do and I wouldn't do again. But since, we just did it for fun. For example, writing the script while you shoot it. Oh. We didn't rehearse. Then plenty of things, but really fun.
Now, do you feel your overall project here came off more like a student film than an independent film?
I would say yes. I mean, the thing is, since I wasn't studying, it's not technically a student film, but it's from the level of professionalism and from the level of what we knew before doing this, it's definitely like on one level with a student film, or even less, because students have, at least most of the time, they learned quite a bit, like in university, eventually, maybe not. So it was somehow in between. But pretty similar.
Okay. You have a lot of locations, I noticed, in this film. You are jumping all over the place in the film. We're at a restaurant. We're at somebody's apartment. We're in a cop shop. Where did you get all this? I mean, you don't really know. Did you just ask them, do you know where we can get this?
We just ask people who like, who knows someone? I mean, one house was the house I was living in. I was actually sharing a house with three Chinese guys, which, like, two brothers and their cousin. And the cousin is someone I met doing this very first short film. And he was a filmmaker who came with a sound background and wanted to breach into filmmaking. And he became, like, one of my best buddies. And, like, the time I was living in their house, like, they had a room free at some point. I was looking for a place to stay. And they said, why don't you just move in with us? It was actually really one of the best time in my life. I mean, they spoke English as their first language, or like their first language. And they took me also to their family gathering. So I felt like I was like adopted for a while. And they, you actually see all of them in this film as well. Two of them are the gangsters. And well, the third one has actually one of the lead roles. So he was one of the lead men. He was also, I think, doing camera. He was doing sound. So, like, that was one of those typical films, like, where everyone really has, like, at least 10 hats on. So everyone has to do everything. And, yeah, that was one of the locations, interior, exterior. Then there were other people involved. We shot in their apartments. The restaurants you see were our favorite restaurants. Since I'm from Germany, I kind of just shot certain scenes in Germany when I moved, when I was just on holiday for a month. And you see all my friends in this film, like, I kind of got, like, to star in this. And that's how that came together, because I also thought, like, well, if I put some German scenes in and we have also some Asian scenes, that looks like high production value.
It did. I was kind of like, this looks like a different country, but I gotta have to ask, because I had no idea. I'm like, it did look like to me you went to two different places, but I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
So, yeah, it was shot in Germany and in Asia.
Okay, that's what I thought. And you speak three different languages in this film.
I think ultimately it's actually five. Like, when if you like, they're like bits and pieces. So you have German, you have English as the main language, but then you have several Chinese dialects, and I think also a little bit of Indian, like Tamil, and I think a couple of words Malays. Yeah, a couple of Malay words might be in it as well. Since Malaysia is a very it's a multilingual country, so you have the Chinese population, and they speak Mandarin, Hakka, Hokkien, Cantonese, whatever their mother tongue. And then you have like Indian, like an Indian population, and they speak, I think, mostly Tamil. And then you have the Malays, they speak Bahasa Malaysia, or like their language. And then, you know, like you have English speaking people, well, expatriates, obviously, but then I said, like, also the Chinese family I was staying with, like, they spoke English. So that is why you have all these different languages, and then I come on board and bring German in as well. It was kind of like a funky experiment of sorts, but I also know, like, sometimes it went wrong. So the film was on Hulu for a while, hulu.com, and then there must have been subtitles. I know that there were subtitles, but the thing, sometimes people forgot, like, to switch them on, and then they went all angry and said really rude things about, like, how can you put this up, and then it was like, well, I can't understand what they're talking about. And I was just thinking, why don't you just switch on the subtitles, you idiot? But anyway, so yeah, the next, like, since then I usually try to burn in my subtitles for bits and pieces in a foreign language, because you never know if someone forgets to put it on, and they think, like, well, it's a bad movie, instead of just searching for the subtitles.
You're getting smart in your old age, are you? How many languages do you speak then on a film set? I mean, I know you speak German. Obviously, you speak English. Do you speak you must speak other languages.
Actually, not fluent. No. Since everyone there spoke English, I was initially going to Asia to learn Chinese. I wanted to learn Mandarin, but that never worked out, because first of all, I went to Hong Kong, I started learning Mandarin, but, like, I stayed in a Cantonese family, so that was kind of not really productive. I think I was too lazy in choosing my friends, so, like, I ended up with kind of, like, all, like, people from all over the world, but they all spoke English as their first language. So for a while, I was really kind of, my English was very Malaysian influenced. So it was an odd accent, like kind of like a Malaysian German mix. I think now it's just kind of like a German accent, back to a German accent. But anyway, so yeah, I have to admit, I've never really mastered like a third language fully. But then, so what?
No, it doesn't matter. So I do want to discuss one particular shot of the film. The car chase scene.
Right.
Explain to me what you're attempting to do there. I'm going to try to be as polite as I can.
Well, I think we just did a car chase scene because we wanted to do a car chase scene. Since it's really a couple of years since we shot that. And this has been shot in a Chinese cemetery. One thing I remember very clearly, I mean, the thing is, like, I know I was hanging out with the camera out of this car, so there's a lot of things which you shouldn't really attempt to do. Like, so, and if I didn't want to do, and to have anyone else to do stupid things, I usually did it myself. I wouldn't do this again. And obviously, like, a car chase scene, like, you shoot, and if you hang out the window with a camera, it's not necessarily the greatest Hollywood scene ever shot. But I also remember, like, we were accidentally kind of reversing, and, like, someone drove one of the cars onto one of the tombstones, and that was really embarrassing. And we were, like, all thought, oh, gosh, like, this is so... I mean, like, I remember staying there and apologizing to the grave, or, like, to the whoever was in that grave, but some of the vibes. It's a massive graveyard, is all I can say. It's like huge. So funky memories.
So did you find working, I mean, you being an amateur starting off, did you find you had to reshoot things 3 or 4 times and now it would only take you once or twice?
I wouldn't say I was shooting a lot more, like, in terms of that I have to reshoot things. No, not really. Like, we didn't, I mean, like, not every shot obviously ended up in the final film, but when does it ever? Looking back, I would say there's some fundamental mistakes in this film, which are kind of beginner mistakes, which I just had to do at the time, but it wasn't that we were reshooting scenes as such.
Okay, well, that wasn't too bad then. So how was your editing process on this film? I mean, it looks, I'm going to come out and say it, very choppy.
Well, I edited, and I shouldn't edit my own feature films. So that's that's the bottom line. So that was the only feature film I've ever edited. And I don't have like a perfect sense of pacing. Like, I think it's too hard. Like, so in terms of, you need an editor to get rid of your darlings. So maybe that has been one of the reasons why we didn't really reshoot much, because I edited certain things. And I think my editing skills are good enough for some of my, I edited also a lot of my short films. But as I said, like, with pacing, it's hard. That's one of the things, for example, I would consider a mistake I wouldn't do again, so that you'd have too many heads, because what is missing is, I mean, there's a reason why there's a director in my point of view, because you need someone who monitors the work others do. And if you're both in the same person, there's no one with a little bit of distance to the work done. Say, if I work with my editor, she presents me stuff and I look at it and I get like a total fresh view on whatever I've done. On production, since she kind of is making her vision first, and then we are working to get the best out of it, and she tells me if she thinks what I've done is crap and that we have to lose it, which I might not do myself, like when editing it. So yeah, that is if there are flaws in the edit, that's me, all my work.
I didn't say there were flaws, I just said it could be a little smoother. I was trying to be polite.
Yeah, well, you know what, like, when we were finished editing, like, a first version of it, and then we watched it, that was Adrian and me, like, Adrian and I was kind of, we were locking ourselves in, like, for 2 weeks to do this, so also, like, the editing time itself was very short. If I compare this to the films, to my other feature films I've done since then, And then we watched it, and we thought, oh my God, this is so bad. This is never going to work, which usually is always the case if you watch like a first edit. But I think we didn't really start going back to the edits. What we did is we used music to fix it. So there's one very specific guitar riff you hear throughout, which I really like. I still like this, but this is what ties the film together, not really the edit, which is wrong in itself in a way. But it sounds like, also if I listen to myself, it sounds like it's quite bad. But the thing is, also I have to say, the movie went actually much further than any of us expected and made its money back, which wasn't hard because it didn't cost much, but still, so I can say, well, my first feature film made its money back.
Okay, so you hit on one of the topics I was going to get to, the music. Where did you get your music from? Did you make your own? Did you ask for it? Or
One of the good friends of Adrian is a composer, and he actually gave us some of the stuff. And then I said, like, Adrian himself comes from sound, like with a sound background, and like a lot of this, you know, like I said, these guitar riffs you hear throughout, this very minimal stuff, this is actually his doing.
So you got your film together. Did you guys have a screening room or anything? Or what do you do with the film? I mean, do you even know what you were going to do with this film before you started?
I think we wanted to finish it first, which is, you know, as I said, like we were just going along with a ride, more or less, not really planning everything in advance. So once it was done, so it was, there was a online film festival, which we screened at, and we won actually the feature category in this one. And it also screened in a, in Singapore, there is a festival for first films. And that's also kind of a little bit of a fun story because we thought it can't be big if they choose our film. And then we actually came there. It's actually really huge. Yeah. So the theater was massive. And then you're like, that was when we were like, oh, wow, they took our film. This is awesome. And then after that, like what I said, like it was on Hulu.com for a while, but we wanted people to see it on, like, just get it out there. So this is why it's also available on YouTube right now.
Well, isn't that fun? I mean, do you think it's weird that people still go check out your work? Like, go, I have to see your first film?
No, I mean, the thing is, like, after all, there is something, I would say, it's perceived also differently in different countries. So it's kind of like, I have to say also that the story is a bit twisted, and that usually sits better with an Asian audience. So they have, you know, like their stories in itself are usually kind of twisted. I do know that usually a Western audience is not taking it too well. First of all, they have trouble to kind of distinguishing who is who, and they have trouble following the story.
I could see
this
that.
This is why I also made sure. Sorry?
I could see that.
Yeah, so like in this one, I tried to make sure that one has glasses and the other one has a ponytail and stuff like that. So, you know, like they're like very clear things to distinguish. So, you know, like one gets a black eye and then he runs around with a black eye, which is really just our viewing experience. Because for me, they look totally different. They look like the same, like as different as like my friends in Germany look to me. And here's like a little bit of a fun anecdote. There are three German women, I think, in it. Or like two, I'm not sure. No, yeah, I think it might be just two. Anyway, two friends of mine. One has like shoulder length hair and dark blonde, and the other one is has long brown hair. And Asian people watch it, and I actually look totally different in my point of view. But they come to me and ask me, is this you? So, you know, like it goes vice versa. They couldn't tell that this is not me. That's just a white woman, same age. So they all look the same. So, you know, like that goes both ways, which usually the result is that Asian people did like the film in general a lot better than a Western audience.
I got to admit, I did look for you in the film. I didn't see if you were in here. I did look for you.
Yeah, no, I actually forgot. If you, I think I am not, and if, then just a cameo somewhere, but I really think I wasn't in it. Like, I mean, I could remember if there was a significant rules. It might just be that I'm somewhere in the background somewhere.
Okay. I've left you my favorite scene out, the bridge scene. How did you shoot that? And how was that to shoot?
I think that's the scene the bridge in itself has like a section where you actually can stand. So it looks like you're like you can hang. So like this is where we positioned him and then like filmed it in a way that he was hanging and then yes. Just went like to like a little bit like to the side and then we filmed his feet like dangling in the air.
Yes.
And then we threw something over the bridge down there. So I think it was a melon or something just to see what happens. And yeah, that was actually quite fun. And it was a really, really hot day. So we had sweat continuity problems with the shirts.
That does happen.
So I remember that.
Oh, see, yeah, well, I'm getting it. See, you remember all the fun stories.
Yeah, like there are a lot of fun stories. I said, like the shoot itself was really fun. So, you know, like I would say that was one of the most enjoyable things I've shot so far because there was no pressure. You know, like the thing is there's no money which is kind of running through your fingers. You do this for fun. You know there's no one pressuring you if the outcome is not up to whatever you like. And so that kind of made it really a great thing to do.
Fair enough. Now you're on such a tight budget. Do you just eat at the apartments? Like I don't think you're catering in any way.
I can't remember if we did any catering. I can't remember what we ate, to be honest. So that's something. And we definitely didn't have catering, so that much I can remember.
Now, I guess my last question is, your film seems pretty bright wherever you go. It didn't really look like a lot of night shooting, not like very little, other than a couple minor things. Because I don't think you would have had enough lights or anything to do this.
Well, that's one reason, but there's also almost no grading on this. So you're like, the thing is, like, basically, if I would have something like this now, I would possibly just pull it down a lot more. Like, say, I would grade it a lot more. So this is it's very raw in a way.
I would definitely agree with that. It feels like very raw, like almost like a documentary at times.
Yeah. It was, you know, that was shot on mini DV. Cassettes, you know, I wouldn't even know now, like, how to get those, like, in my computer, you know, you just had to capture everything, so this is kind of, it feels really old school now.
Mini DV, how many did you use? Two or three?
No, more than that. I think I had a full box of them, and the box disappeared in my time in Asia somewhere. So the original mini DV tapes are gone, I think. So I don't know where they went.
Oh, that's funny. Are you ready for some fun questions?
Oh, I thought this was all a lot of fun already. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, you know I have questions for you. I always make these up for you every time.
I know.
And don't worry, you have no idea what they are. Your favorite thing to do during quarantine?
Bringing my son to bed to then have like a couple of minutes just for myself, hopefully, after that.
And I make you do an interview doing it. Great. The one job you've always wanted and never been able to get?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think.
I thought it was a good one.
Making a lot of money.
Fair enough.
It's not really a job, is it?
I think it is. I mean, some people have that talent. Some people don't. And I don't. So that's why I do this.
Oh, but that's also not entirely true because basically what's required to make a lot of money, just kind of to make a lot of money, usually I don't want to do that. That's why I don't make a lot of money. And I'm still working on my films, making enough money to have a decent living, like, and not think about money. So
now, this one might be hard for you. Who are you thanking in your Oscar speech?
Sorry, say this again?
Who are you thanking in your Oscar speech?
My little son, Oscar.
That's it? We're walking on stage saying, thank you, Oscar, and you're God. Fair enough. That'd be a quick.
No. I would say, like, I really would have to think about this if that ever happens. Obviously, I would thank my family, and I would thank every of my collaborators along the way. I mean, they're like very, very important ones. I mean, for example, like Adrian is the name of the guy with whom I did Emperor. And then like with Kings, like I had Virginia Kennedy. She was my co-director, co-producer. So I always have like kind of a real body in crime for each of the films. And then like the same goes for all the last films I did here. I mean, right now it's really Wolf, who is my writer, and we are producing our stuff together right now. So it's kind of like you need someone you always hate if they come as criticism, and that's why you want to work with them, and you really like them. That's why they are your best friend. So okay,
Before I let you go, what are you working on your next project? When's that coming out?
I can't say when that's coming out. First of all, also like the whole corona thing jumbled up everything. I mean, like for us, it has been a little bit hard. So first we had Brexit and then now corona. So and Brexit kind of made things for us a bit harder since all my last feature films were shot in the UK and we don't know if we can do that. What I can say is since 1.5 years, 2 years, we are kind of trying to get a lot of projects into development because you never, like, we don't really know what might be next. So we just, like, I think it definitely will happen that we very soon will be working on a German project. Might be German language or English language, but it's definitely something which is funded by German money. We have a sci-fi series in the making and also some kids projects. So, for example, like one of the scripts I'll be writing on very soon is a dinosaur, like a young boy on a dinosaur island. So that's one. And then like the last film we did is The Curse of Hobbs House. That's the next one, obviously. Like I see, like for me, this is already a finished film, but that's not out yet. So this is the next one which comes out. And we have other scripts in that whole universe. So also like inspired by this entire lockdown, we were thinking, okay, let's maybe make an animated series, which is like in this universe as well with undead and like near future sci-fi horror. And as well, another script, which is also like in the same area. So let's see which one of those really will go into production first, I can't say, but enough out there that something will happen.
Well, thank you for your time as always. Everyone, please check out this film on YouTube. I don't think it's available anywhere else, at least that I know of. And check out the other interviews with you, and they're on the website. Thank you for your time as always. Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
First off, I would apologize to our listeners. Emperor's being taken down from YouTube because she's trying to sell it overseas. So hopefully you'll find it on Amazon Prime very soon. Bye-bye.